God-given repentance.
The definition of repentance is somewhat alien to modern American thinking. After 100 years of modern theology, most Americans have a sloppy agape understanding of serving God. The bumper sticker "I'm not perfect, just forgiven" sums up American pop Christianity. Elvis, Willie Nelson and Bill Clinton were supposed to be born again. I'm told that even the publisher of the pornographic magazine Hustler is a born-again Christian. Spurgeon warned us, "Brethren, are any of you, that profess to be God's servants, living for yourselves? Then you are not God's servants, for he that is really born again lives unto God. The object of his life is the glory of God and the good of his fellow men."
John the Baptist and repentance.
Modern Americans are just the latest in a long line of people trying to escape judgment without repentance. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" John the Baptist told the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, "Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father,' for I say to you, that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham." Matthew 3:7-9. When John the Baptist saw the religious leaders coming to get in on the forgiveness his baptism symbolized, he warned them not to be deceived. He was aware of the importance of repentance, and understood it wasn't possible for these religious leaders to repent, lacking God-given faith. Many of these Pharisees and Sadducees believed John the Baptist was a true prophet. They wanted to be baptized. But something was wrong. The prophet would not baptize them. Why? He discerned that the hearts of the Pharisees and Sadducees were not right, not repentant. If John the Baptist refused the Pharisees and Sadducees out of concern for their souls, not wanting them to have the false hope that God had forgiven them, thus encouraging them to continue in sin, how much more should we be concerned?
Why is repentance necessary?
Repentance is the cross, the intersection where God's law and God's mercy work together to bring about the ultimate goal of reconciling man to God. Repentance can only occur if God illuminates the seeker to his true condition. In fact, repentance without God-given faith to overcome the sin being repented of is a mockery of true salvation. It's like a harlot walking down the aisle with a holy man. She wears a white dress to symbolize imaginary purity, accepts a ring symbolizing imaginary submission, and says a meaningless marriage vow. Through sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, till death do us part, are repeated as part of the ceremony, but it's a mockery.
Water baptism and repentance.
The early church understood water baptism as a kind of marriage ceremony that united the believer and Christ. Instead of walking down the aisle with a white dress, the believer willingly goes under the water to die with Jesus on the cross. Romans 6:3-7, Galatians 2:20, Galatians 5:24, Galatians 6:14, John 3:29. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Ephesians 5:27. The bride must die to her old life before she can be married to God. This death pact binds the two together in complete unity, making it possible for Jesus and the believer to become one spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. When a believer accepts the sacrifice, he identifies with, becomes one with, all the transforming power of that event. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8:11.
Charles Finney on repentance.
Finney spoke more on the subject of repentance than any other evangelist, for he knew his methods would produce an unacceptable number of false appearances without it. Here are some of the things he taught about awakened sinners. Many think that remorse, a sense of guilt, is repentance. Then hell is full of repentance, because it is full of unutterable eternal remorse. Others feel regret over something, and call that repentance. But they regret their sin because of consequences, not because they hate sin. This isn't repentance. Others believe conviction of sin and strong fears of hell are repentance. They claim they never do anything wrong without repenting, and they always feel sorry for it. Show sinners that none of these things are repentance. They are entirely consistent with the utmost evil. The devil could have them all, and yet remain a devil. Repentance is a change of mind regarding sin itself. Here are some of the things he taught about new converts. I don't need to run around informing new converts that they are converted. If a person has obeyed God, he will know it. Telling someone, "You're converted," before he discovers that fact himself easily breeds false hope. It is usually best to let the hope or belief that he is converted spring spontaneously from the young convert's own mind. Finney said, "Willing and wanting are two different things." People often want to be Christians when they don't will to be. When we see anything that looks good to us, we naturally want it. We can't help wanting it in proportion to its goodness. But we can still be unwilling to have it, all things considered.
True repentance requires faith.
True repentance is evident when the penitent knows he cannot live without God's personal help. This help is called grace. Grace is not forgiveness of past sin only, it is the power of God to not sin again. Therefore, repentance depends on the grace of God. The power of God to forgive sin and the power of God to keep the penitent out of the very sin he repented of is an evidence of salvation. This is the inevitable result of being raised from the dead with Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. In the parable of the seed, the condition of the soil, men's hearts, determine whether the seed would bear fruit. Jesus taught that only a portion would be saved. Nevertheless, we must continue to teach seekers about the fear of the Lord, sin, judgment, the law, and the way of salvation, while we encourage them to seek God. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9 NASB.